Okay, so as I mentioned to a group of Talmidim yesterday, I just wanted to begin by noting that, you know, the Gemara says about Chanukah, Kivon ve'asam yamim tovim behalol ve'hoda, that these are days of halol, which of course just fulfill the mitzvah of halol, but also hoda, which Rashi interprets to mean the al-hanisim, but it really does have a broader implication that these are yamei halol ve'hoda. So I feel very privileged and grateful to have the opportunity to have such wonderful Talmidim in this yeshiva who make Torah study such a priority. Talmidim kisidram, musafim kelchasam, and are here, you know, even on a non-regularly scheduled school day. I think it speaks for itself. The Rambam, did not win many friends with the publication of the Mishneh Torah, at least not in the immediate aftermath of the publication of the Mishneh Torah, for a number of reasons. The Rambam didn't cite his sources, which was a very controversial thing. And another thing that the Rambam did, extremely audacious, is he wrote in the introduction to the Mishneh Torah that all you really need now that he's published the Mishneh Torah was the Mishneh Torah and Tanakh, right? He admitted that you still needed a Tanakh, but, you know, basically all of Torah Shebaal Peh had been successfully distilled by him, so now, you know, given the fact that, you know, people had, you know, not the time or perhaps the capacity to master the entire corpus of the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, so, you know, now thank God there was the Mishneh Torah for that. So again, this did not win the Rambam many friends. On the contrary, it drew the ire of his contemporaries and immediate successors, though, you know, you might say there's a great deal of truth in what the Rambam said. It does help explain an aspect of the Rambam's presentation in Hilchos Chanukah. Chanukah is unique amongst the Moadim in what way? If you just think about it for a second, apropos this point, Itai?
It's the only one that, like, isn't mentioned in the Tanakh.
Right, exactly. So you would need, from the Rambam's own vantage point, you would need to say something by way of introduction. So the fact that the Rambam introduces the holiday of Chanukah in a unique way, right, it doesn't begin Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah by saying, you know, the Jewish people, they were enslaved by the Egyptians, and then there were all of these plagues, right? The Rambam starts Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah by noting that Chametz is an Isser Kares, you know, he presumes the knowledge of Tanakh. So Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam had to say something. But that doesn't mean that what the Rambam said in particular isn't noteworthy, because the Rambam gave a presentation, as we know, that differs markedly from that of the Gemara. So just to ask for a volunteer to read the first source, this is the Rambam's famous introduction to Hilchos Chanukah, which, as we know, it differs markedly from the Gemara, but I think it also has to be understood in a very specific way, which will be my central thesis this morning. Anybody, Itai? Okay, go ahead.
Bebayisheni in the Second Temple. Shemargu Yavan, when Yavan ruled, Gazu Gzerot al Israel, they put restrictions on Israel. Buvetlu datam, and they canceled their religion. Veloni chutam nasok b'Torah mitzvim, and they would not let them do Torah.
So there's already a question that you could ask just on that clause itself. Ubitlu dasam velohinicho asam lasok b'torah v'mitzvos. What question might you pose just reading the Rambam, Ephraim? Yeah, it is redundant, right? What would it mean to nullify the Jewish religion if not to say that you're not able to study Torah and perform mitzvos? So it's a little bit puzzling. So that expression, ubitlu dasam, is undoubtedly consequential. The Rambam, like, put it there, even though, you know, it should have been covered by what immediately follows. Okay, Itai, go ahead. Right, Pashtu Yadam, that they unlawfully seized Jewish money and also, even more significantly, mistreated Jewish women. This is part of the Afhein Hayu Boso Anes. Vitimu HaTaharos, right, so they desecrated the Beit HaMikdash, right? Ma'od, mipneihem.
Okay, so they were basically saying
the Jewish people were greatly oppressed until God had
God, the God of their forefathers, but the Hashmonai Maccabees to save them.
Right. Not, they actually weren't the Maccabees yet. They were still just the Maccabees, right. Right. And they annihilated the Greeks. It's a very controversial point. And they even appointed a king, which the Ramban feels was, you know, a catastrophe, as many of us have discussed. V'chazra malchus Yisrael yeser al masayim shana ad achor ban hasheni. And Jewish sovereignty was restored for some 200 years until the Second Commonwealth came to its own destruction through the Romans. Okay, so this is the Rambam's introduction, and as many have noted, the Rambam pays much greater attention to the military victory, and more particularly to restoration of Jewish sovereignty than the Gemara did, which almost entirely, you know, omitted it. There's a passing reference to Malchus Beis Chashmonai, but of course it's all about the Neis Pach Shemin, and that certainly supports the Ramban's view about the illicit nature of the seizure of political power. So be that as it may, let's continue on. Maybe somebody else wants to read. Ukshagavru. Any volunteers? Okay, go ahead, Ephraim.
Ukshagavru Yisrael al-Ivehem, v'al-Adum, v'achanisha v'esr v'chodesh kislev, haya v'nichnusu v'heichal, v'lumatsu shemar tahor v'mikdosh, ala pach echad, v'ahev v'lahadlik, ala yom echad. Gilva. We look at Menu Nerod, Pamaracha, Shmur Yamim, Asher Kapshu Zaytim, Votsu Shema Tahor.
Right, so the process of producing pure oil is, how long does that process take? Yeah, it took that amount of time. Right, so it took 8 days to produce, and that's, you know, basically the reason that, you know, we're going to be celebrating, the Rambam says, for 8 days. Mipnei zeh
itkim chachamim shebaoto hador. Sheyu shmona hayomim ha'elu, she tchilatan milel chamisha v'esrim b'kislev, yimei simcha l'halel, m'ligim v'hen haniros, v'erev al pisle abatim, b'chol layla v'layla, mishmona salelos, l'haros l'galos hanis.
Right. So the Rambam uses the language of miracle, right? The miracle being, of course, that one day of oil or one night of oil, you know, could last for eight.
V'yomim elu hen hanikra in Chanukah, Vehain Asurin Behesped Utanis, Vitanis, Kimeh Hapurim, Vadlakas Haneros, Behan Mitzvah, Midivre Sofrim, Kikriyas Hamgillah.
Okay, so the Rambam has said that there is a specific nature to the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. So what does Rambam identify as that, the nature of that mitzvah? And we shouldn't speculate here, but just the Rambam's own words is the nature of the mitzvah is. Right, okay, so the level of the mitzvah is midivrei sofrim. Okay, divrei sofrim means that it's a rabbinic expansion of some d'oraisa, right? So that's a little surprising, because you would have expected the Rambam said that it's just a mitzvah midivreihem. So there are many ways of thinking about that. I'll explore one of them today. That's going to be a question. But what's the nature? Go ahead, Ezra, I think you were raising your hand. Right, so this is often referred to the rabbinic expression of pirsume nisa, right? Laharos Ulagalos Hanes. It's an interesting formulation. The haros is to demonstrate, right? Ulagalos, right, from the language of literally gilui, to reveal the miracle. Okay. So the Rambam is told that he believes this to be the nature of the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. And there's a lot to be said about this Rambam, well beyond what we've said here. But I want to focus, as I alluded to, some attention on the language at the beginning of Malchus Yavan. Gazru Gzeros al Yisrael bitlu dasam is like, what exactly was the Rambam hoping to achieve through that language, especially as Ephraim noted, it does seem a little bit redundant. Again, he had to give some introduction. We're not questioning that, but we're questioning the use of this specific language, number one. And number two, if it's midivrei sofrim, that usually for the Rambam connotes an expansion of a d'oraisa as opposed to a d'rabbanan. So what d'oraisa might that be? Question number two. So let's add some more questions before we begin the process of trying to answer some of the questions. So this is now in the second source. This is towards the very conclusion of Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. So the end of the fourth chapter, the Rambam uses some fascinating language, a beautiful language, but really interesting language at that. Any volunteers? I don't want to be Lochetz Lachatz Gadol. That would be, you know, highly inappropriate to the occasion, but Daniel, go ahead.
Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavivahi Ad Ma'od. Betzarach Adam Lizarba, Kede Lahodia.
Hanes,
Ula Hosef, Beshavach, Akel, Hodayal, Bao, Alanisim Shasalah.
Right, so there's a very beautiful formulation here. Lahodia Hanes, right? Lahosef, Beshavach, Ha'el, Vahodayalo, right? That's the Halo, Vahoda'a. That's the Rambam's version of that. Alhanisim Shasalanu. Okay, and then the Rambam says, Suso, right, his shirt. Right, so you could have a very, not that we'd recommend this, but you could have an unusual situation where somebody would be lighting their Rosh Chanukah shirtless because they had just been mocher ksuso to buy the shemen for Ner Chanukah. But that would be the correct halachic application, you know. Okay. Hare, and then the Rambam goes on, this is now based on the Gemara Shabbos Daf Chach Gimel Amid Beis. Right, it happens to be Friday night, so you're, you know, faced with a seeming confrontation between a Doraisa and a Dorabanan. Kiddush is Achras Yom HaShabbos Akadsho, Halakas Ner Chanukah, which the Rambam has called Midivrei Sofrim, but that does not yet make it a Doraisa, so it seemed pretty obvious that, you know, Kiddush should trump Ner Chanukah, but... Zichron Hanes, which again seems to be, you have to analyze all of this language, which would be, you know, a different shear of Laharos Ulagalos as Hanes, and Zichron Hanes, you know, Lahodia Hanes, you know, Alanisim Shasa, that's all a shear in its own right. But here the Rambam has referred to, the Yayin for Kiddush as Divrei Sofrim, and that we understand it's a rabbinic extension of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachor Siyama Shabbos Akadsho. So the Gemara says Zachreu al Yayin. But again, he's saying, well, since both of them are Divrei Sofrim, you know, the Divrei Sofrim that has the Zikaron Hanes, you know, wins out. But you have to establish, why is Ner Chanukah
better than, why should Ner Chanukah be better than Kiddush, which is Zikaron, you know, that God created the world?
Very good. Exactly right. So what exactly is this very powerful Divrei Sofrim to which...
But it's not a good kasha, because you can mention that God created the world without having wine.
Right. Well, that's the idea. That would be the Doraisa. But, you know, you could also give Hallel, you know, as we do in the morning, without lighting the menorah. So they seem to be kind of equal in that way. You don't actually need the accessory to accomplish. The question is really, what is the Doraisa? Now, this halacha that you should have to literally sell the shirt off your back is a surprising one. There's a general rule when it comes to mitzvah saseh that if a person is indigent, they're basically exempt. You're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your assets on a mitzvah saseh. So, example, if Daniel has $100 to his name, he shouldn't spend more than $20 on any mitzvah d'oraisa. Even, let's say, you need to buy a mezuzah or something. You know, it would be inappropriate for you to spend more than $20 because Torah says, b'chol me'odecha, but we interpret that to be with respect to violating a lo saseh. You'd have to give your whole money, all your money, b'chol mamoncha, but not to make a mitzvah saseh. So to say that, you know, for mitzvah derabanan or mitzvah devir sofrim, there's no clear source for this in the Gemara, but the Rambam is suggesting that, you know, you'd have to literally sell the shirt off your back, you'd have no assets and still have to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So that is a third question. And the fourth question is, you know, the Rambam, you know, his language is extremely precise. So the Rambam refers to mitzvah Chanukah as chaviva hi ad ma'od. You know, it's the only time in all of the Mishnah Torah the Rambam ever uses such an expression. So what exactly did he mean? So again, question number one, what is this? You know, Rabbi Yishenik, Shemalchu Yavon, Gazuk Zeris HaYisrael, Bitlu Dasam, V'lo Yinicho Osam Lasok, V'tarvi Mitzos. What was motivating that specific language of the Rambam? Number two, what's the De'oraisa that apparently, you know, Ner Chanukah is attached to? Number three is, where did the Rambam come up with this idea that Ner Chanukah somehow is going to justify, you know, having to sell the shirt off your back? And number four, what did the Rambam really mean when he said Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od? So, you know, anybody reading the Rambam would probably ask similar questions, if not these exact questions. So one such person was Rav Vidal of Toulouse, who lived in the 14th century, who relates to two of these questions here in the third source. So he says, what's this mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od? I happen to like this line, even though he's clearly speculating. He says, well, maybe the Rambam meant chaviva hi ad ma'od, that it's especially precious or beloved mitzvah. Amar avuna haragil b'ner havin lo banim tamidei chachamim. So maybe it's because the Gemara links fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with having children or tamidei chachamim, which is like our ultimate aspiration, right? Talmud Torah keneged kulam, and we say every morning, you know, kulanu yodei shemecha tzatzeinu, that our children should be. So maybe that's what makes Ner Chanukah so precious. Okay, it's a beautiful thought. I think it tells you a lot about the Magen Mishnah and his value system. I mean, in a positive way, but I don't think that necessarily is pshat for the Rambam. He doesn't say anything about Talmud Torah in this particular halacha, but he does say a lot about Lehodiah Hanes, Lehosef B'Sheva Chael, Lehodayah Lo, I would assume that Chaviva is related a little bit more to that theme, but the question is, you know, how exactly? And now he says, you know, what about this issue of, you know, the impoverished Jew, you know, what I like to call the shirtless Hanukkah lighter. So, you know, how do you account for that? So the Magen Mishnah says, Nira shalomdo mimashin izbar perek zayin hilchitz chametu matzah, shafilu ani shebi Yisrael al yivchos mi arba kosos, v'atam yishum pirsume nisa, v'kol shkeim in er Hanukkah, the adif mikidesh hayom. Anybody want to take a stab at what the Magen Mishnah is saying? So he admits that the Rambam was, you know, flying solo here. He was, you know, off on his own, you know, navigating his own halachic course. But where did the Rambam come up with the idea that everybody has to participate in Ner Chanukah, even the most indigent individual? He exported that halacha from which other area of halacha? From a Mishnah, Arvei Pesachim, which says, "Afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yifchasu lo me'arba kosos shayin." So he's like, he's saying, what motivated the Rambam to do that? Right, so that there must be some halachic relationship between Dalad Kosos and Ner Chanukah. So Dalad Kosos might be an expression of Pirsume Nisa, though the Rambam doesn't actually use that particular expression with respect to Dalad Kosos. And he says, well, maybe the Rambam exported from Dalad Kosos to Ner Chanukah, because after all, Ner Chanukah, the Rambam is on the record as saying that it's Laharos Ulegalos Esanes. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? So if it's Pirsume Nisa, for Dalad Kosos, so that should be true for Ner Chanukah as well. Though the Magen Mishnah said something kind of interesting here. He says, well, if it's true for Dalad Kosos, not only is it true for Ner Chanukah, but he said something even more specific. I'm going to take a look. V'atam yishum persume nisa, so he says, v'kol shekein Ner Chanukah. So the Lachem Mishnah, writing on the Magen Mishnah, says, okay, maybe he's right that that's where the Rambam got the halacha, but what's the kol shekein? Just say, v'hu adin. It's the same phenomenon. So the Magen Mishnah seems to allude to this notion that somehow the Pirsume Nisa of Ner Chanukah is qualitatively greater than the Pirsume Nisa, as it were, of Dalad Kosos. Israel. But what would you say about Hallel? Yeah, the Rambam considers, you know, Hallel and Ner Chanukah to be part of the same mitzvah. One is a verbal Hallel, one is a nonverbal Hallel. Okay, could be, could be. Yeah. So I'm going to go in a different direction, but I hear that. But again, you know, it's just important to note that for the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of Chanukah. He says, a mitzvah achas mi divrei sofrim, and, you know, then he has both Hallel and Ner Chanukah, so he sees that Ner Chanukah and Hallel are really part of the same theme. So what's this kol shekein, right? That would be a fifth question. Daniel. Yeah. Absolutely.
So by Pesach, the Pirsume Nisa of the Arba Kosov is more just like whoever's like inside the house, really.
Okay.
Not really outside the house. I mean, even though we don't hold like this for Ner Chanukah now, we say it's more
no,
like
right.
Piece of inside the house, but maybe it's, maybe, I mean, the Magen Mishnah held that it was still the Pirsume Nisa of outside, but if it was, because then it's like not only the people inside the house, but it's also the people outside the house.
Okay, interesting. So that it's just like a, not what I was saying, a qualitatively greater Pirsume Nisa, but it's like a quantitatively greater Pirsume Nisa. Okay, so, you know, whether or not, yeah, no, go ahead. Well, not Ner Shabbos, but Kiddush.
So, I don't know if he, like, I don't think he has to have, like, reason, like, a specific, like, aspect of the mitzvah to make it greater. He's just basing it off the Rambam, who says that...
Well, I mean, the Gemara says that Ner Chanukah is takes priority over Kiddush Hayom. But, I mean, that may be true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Ner Chanukah then is a greater Pirsume Nisa than Dalad Kosos, right? So, like, it is... The Lechem Mishnah's question seems fair to me. Like, why did you just have to? Why couldn't you just say Hua Din? Why'd you have to say Kol Shekein? Okay. So the truth of the matter is that the Magen Mishnah should be scrutinized a little bit because The Rambam's presentation of the din of Dalet Kosos and the fact that the Ani has to participate, it's true that there's an element there of Pirsumei Nisa, but that's not the way the Rambam formulates. And anybody happen to remember the way the Rambam formulates it? Rambam doesn't really use that expression. The Rambam refers to a statement of the Mechilta, which is also incorporated into the Mishnah in Psachim, and a Mishnah that appears later in Arvei Psachim, much later than the din of Afilu Ani Shebisrael Yifchasu Lo Midalad Kosel Shel Yayin, which is the Rambam tied in the din of Afilu Ani Shebisrael to Bechol Dor Vador Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo. Who wants to put it together? And the Rambam has his own expression of not liros, laharos. So I think there's an aspect of Pirsumei Nisa there, but go ahead, Ephraim.
If you're going to look at yourself or conduct yourself as if you left Egypt, so when you left Egypt, you know, you left Rechush Gadol. So, you know, if on one night you're going to pretend you're leaving Egypt, so then you shouldn't, you know, you should have all this stuff as if you're...
Right, in other words, if Dalet Kosos is pursuant to the halachic notion of recreating, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and for the Rambam demonstrating that outwardly, right? Did God leave the poor Jews behind? That would really be terrible. You know, sorry. You know, Rifkin. We just get, you know, we can't take you with us, you know. You're going to need a sponsor. You know, you get somebody to sign an affidavit for you sponsoring that you're not going to be a burden to society. Right? It didn't work that way. God took out all the Jews. They were all slaves. And it's true, you know, that they left Berchush Gadol. But, you know, the Ani has to participate for the Rambam, just like everybody else has to participate, because Dalet Kosos is an expression of the Cheirus, right? That comes from the Gemara. And everybody experienced Cheirus, so it only stands to reason that, you know, in being mefarsim, the nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was, you know, comprehensive, it was total, it included everybody, it wasn't, on any kind of the basis of socioeconomic discrimination, thank God. So everybody's going to participate, afilu ani shev Yisrael. That's the way the Rambam says it. B'chol dor v'dor chayev anam l'har says atzmo ki'ilu hu ba'atzmo yetzat mishib ben Mitzrayim, shenemar v'osanu mitzvim yisham, this is the fifth source, v'al davar zativ et kash baruch hu b'torah, v'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa, kelomar ki'ilu atzmo ba'atzmo chayisa eved, v'yatzasa l'cheiros inyesa l'fikach. So therefore, meaning and only therefore, because there's an obligation for each and every person to outwardly demonstrate for the Rambam, or, you know, for others to at least internally perceive of himself, herself, as if he or she has been taken out of Egypt, it explains the din of Haseva. In Pochsen mehem afilu ani misparnis min tzedaka lo yifkusu lo me'arba kosa. So it is related to the miracle. There's a presume nisa there, but it's also a little bit specific to Pesach because we don't have this notion of bechol dor v'dor chayiv adam liros as atzmo outside of Pesach. So again, you know, whether it's really fair to export from Yetzias Mitzrayim to any other miracle is not, at least to me, obvious. I prefer to go in a little bit of a different direction. I'm not turning my back on the notion of Pirsumei Nisa entirely. It's obvious from the Rambam on multiple occasions that Neros Chanukah does have to do with Pirsumei Nisa. What I'm going to suggest is that it's a little bit of a different construct, and hopefully this can explain our five questions. So just to review the five questions, see, it really isn't Pesach, because then it would only be four, right? So the fifth question, you know, sets it apart. So again, number one, what was the language of the Rambam at the beginning? Number one. Number two is, why did the Rambam call it Midivrei Sofrim and not a Mitzvah Midivreim? What do rice exactly is it attached to? Number three, where did the Rambam really come up with this idea of Afilu Ani Mocher Ksuso, Shoel, Madlik Nerus Chanukah? Number four, what's this Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hiad Ma'od? And this is a little bit of a question on the Magen Mishnah. When the Magen Mishnah said, oh, it's kind of like Dalet Kosos, but even more so, the Kol Shekein, and Lechem Gisha goes, hey, throw the red flag. You know, we're going to review that one. Is it a Kol Shekein or is it just Tu'a Din? So why did the, you know, Magen Mishnah say, oh, it's even more so? You know, it's like the Pirsumei Nisa of Neros Chanukah just, you know, outstrips the Pirsumei Nisa of the Dalet Kosos. So what exactly is that all about? So as you know from the title of the shiur, I think it has everything to do with the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name. So again, the Rambam deals with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. And the Rambam basically starts out, and we're going to read it in a second, by explaining that there are times in the, you know, life of a person, life of a Jew, life of Jewish people, that one, you know, all the chips are down, and that one will have to either, and again, it's a zero-sum game for the Rambam, violate a mitzvah in the Torah so as to sanctify God's name by choosing life, uvacharta v'chaim, asher yasa osam ha'adav v'chai v'hem, or, perhaps even more dramatically, laying down one's life, v'harek v'aliyavr. So there are basically three situations, broadly speaking, where one will have to lay down one's life rather than violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So what are those three situations? Daniel?
Murdering, Gilai, or Ayos.
Right, so there's what we... Situation one is the big three, right? Avodah Zarah, Gilai, or Ayos, Shvichus, Tavim. That's case one. Case two, this comes up in Sanhedrin, so it's good for this year, Rami.
But it's like being a Chilul Hashem.
Right, so a bit Farhesia, what we call it, if there are 10 Jews around, and the oppressor is asking you to violate the Jewish religion specifically because he wants to create, you know, a humiliation for the Jewish people, as opposed to just, you know, he has some, you know, perverse, you know, or deviant desire to see, you know, you violate, you know, this particular mitzvah. So what we call lahachis or lalateavon. So that situation, a person would have to lay down one's life. And then categorically, what's the third situation, Ephraim?
Shas hashmad.
Shas Hashmad, the Rambam is going to define it a particular way, but it means when the Jewish religion is under attack. Okay, so let's just read this Rambam here in the sixth source, and I'm going to argue that it answers actually all five of our questions. Go ahead, Mr. Becker. Okay, that could be anybody in this room. Yeah, go ahead. So again, this is a very important line. Ravaran Salvechik was medayik this line. The Rambam clearly believes that choosing life rather than allowing yourself to be killed if it's not warranted is itself part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. It's Kiddush Hashem through Yavor Val Yiharik. It's a subtle point, but extremely important. Shenemar b'mitzvos asher yasos amadam b'chai b'hem, chai b'hem lo sheyomos b'hem, v'meis v'lo avar, if you died, hareza mischai b'nafsha, which is a little witty of the Rambam to say, because you're already dead, but you're responsible for your own death. Okay, and then the Rambam goes on, and he goes through situations, again, mochamuros, b'farhesi, and then he says, So this is the Rambam's version of Shas Hashmad, which is based on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet, our Yeshiva Masechta this year. The Rambam says, you know, basically, b'shas hashmad, which we'll talk about in a second, or b'shas hagzera, so then you'd have to give up your life for anything. And interestingly, Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin says even for a minug, as opposed to just a mitzvah. The Rambam seems to limit it to a mitzvah. Interesting discussion there. But what might you say now about our five questions? In the Rambam, shas hashmad is yamod, melech, rasha, Echoes? What's going on here? Who wants to go for all five? The drive for five. The Rambam basically believed that Hanukkah was Shas Hashmad. It was a time for Kiddush Hashem. And had the Rambam started in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, who's Chayev in Kiddush Hashem? Kol Beis Yisrael. Interesting, some of the Nosei Kelim say Kol Beis Yisrael. That should include children as well. Could children be obligated on a Daraisa level in Kiddush Hashem? There's a discussion about that point. So, we may have answered question number one now. Bebayis shenik shemalchu yavan, gazru gzeros al Yisrael, ubitlu dasam, velohinichum lasok b'torah mitzvos, it's not redundant. The Rambam is telling you, look back at Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. So if it's true that there's really the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem at stake, then what might we say? The Divrei Sofrim is that lighting the Chanukah candles is a rabbinic expression of mitzvah daraisa of Kiddush Hashem. And if that's true, who's obligated in Kiddush Hashem?
Everyone,
including the Aniyim. That's absolutely right. And maybe that the Persume Nisa, what do we say in the Al Hanisim? That when Mefarsim the Nes, what does that do? Ulecha Asisa Shem Gadol Vikadosh Be'olamecha. It's a form of Kiddush Hashem. When we light the Chanukah candles, what we're reminding everybody is that when, you know, basically the Jewish religion was on the line and Jews behaved with great courage and great bravery and God saved the Jewish people, what was created was a massive Kiddush Hashem. And when we light the Chanukah candles, Laharos Ulagalos Esanes, it's a very specific version of Persume Nisa. It may even be Kol Shekein, greater than the Persume Nisa. This is an amazing idea. Say, how could it possibly be that there could be a Persume Nisa which is greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim, than the Dalet Kosos? But what I would argue is, Dalet Kosos, sure, they remind everybody of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Yad Chazakah and the Zroa Netuyah. But it might not be an actual expression of Kiddush Hashem. In some sense, every Persume Nisa is Kiddush Hashem. But this even more so, because it came at a time when there was an attempt, Levatel Dasam, Vilo Yinuchum Lasok B'Torah V'Mitzvos. That would not have been possible during Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was before Matan Torah altogether. And if that's true, then I think we well understand, at least to me, not only why everybody is obligated in Ner Chanukah, not only what the Divrei Sofrim is, it's a rabbinic expression of the mitzvah d'Oraisa of Kiddush Hashem, but the language of the Rambam, Malchu Yavan, right? Yamod Melech Rasha, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and why exactly everybody has to participate, the Divrei Sofrim being attached to the mitzvah d'Oraisa of Kiddush Hashem, and how, I think, finally, what the Rambam meant by mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's the only time he ever uses that expression in the Mishnah Torah, but it's the one holiday where we have an attempt, we have actually a mitzvah that allows us to, at the same time, have a kiyum d'oraisa of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name. When you light the menorah, what you're actually doing is being mekadesh shem shamayim, saying God and the Jewish religion were victorious over the Greek oppressors. It's a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's not surprising then that we would express it not just at the basic level, but even Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Minha Mahadrin, then becomes a very compelling kind of a theory. I'd like to go even further with the idea for just a few moments as we conclude with your permission. It's interesting language of Chaviva hi ad ma'od. The language of Chaviva, Chaviv, is beloved. What's the other term? You know, another Hebrew term that you might have used for that? Chaviv, emes, v'yatziv, v'nacham, v'kayim, v'yashar.
Ahuv.
Ahav asashem. It's really interesting. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Chav Hei, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet, Ayin Hei. What do we learn from V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha? Right. That is the Pasuk. Ahavas Hashem is always associated with giving up your life with Mesiris Nefesh. Afilu hu notel as nafshecha. It was interesting to me. Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Mitzvah ahuva. I think it does relate back to the notion of Avas Hashem, and I would suggest in the particular way that I'm trying to formulate this morning. One final observation with respect to conceptualizing Ner Chanukah, as we say, ulecha asisa shem gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha, is our way of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, which would again be incumbent on everybody, which would explain how the Divrei Sofrim, the De'oraisa aspect of Ner Chanukah, Kiddush Hashem, actually trumps the De'oraisa aspect of Kiddush Hayom, of Zachoris Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, because Kiddush Hashem is a singular mitzvah, and it also again explains the language of the Rambam, B'bayi Shenik Shemal Chuyavan, Gazur Gzeris HaYisrael, B'tludasam Lo'inichum La'asok B'Torah V'mitzos. So I think this helps explain one final point in the Rambam. We just explained that basically Ner Chanukah is the arch mitzvah. It's not just the Derabbanan, but it's really a rabbinic expression of the mitzvah d'araisa of Kiddush Hashem, because Chanukah was all about Ashas Hashmad and not giving in to spiritual oppression. So there's one thing in the Gemara which trumps Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, like, you know, trumps everything else. The Rambam says, you know, it goes well beyond any natural mitzvah d'araisa in terms of what do you have to spend on it. But what's the one thing in the Gemara that trumps Ner Chanukah? Ner Shabbos. Because the Gemara says Ner Shabbos is representative of Shalom Bayis. Okay. Says Ner Chanukah v'ner beso, v'ner beso v'kiddush hayom, ner beso kodem mishum shalom beso. It's a beautiful halacha. Basically says shalom is the ultimate value. Now the Rambam chose to express this idea in his own unique way. So let's take a look at the Rambam, okay? And I think that, you know, there's no other explanation of the 1,000 mamare chazal that the Rambam could have chosen. You know, the basically like 1,000 beautiful rabbinic statements that all get at the point of the significance of shalom. So, Noam, you want to just read for us? This is the, you know, peration, the very end of Hilchos Chanukah. So the Rambam says the following. 9th source. Hayelafanav. Noam, you want to do the honors? Just, So that's where the Gemara ends, you know, but the Rambam went further. So of the 1,000 Mamre Chazal that he chose, or he could have chosen, he wants to prove, you know, why Shalom is so significant, or, you know, what's the best way of formulating that idea? Go ahead. Right, part of the Sota protocols is that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa which is violated. Torah says in Parshas Re, Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, that you're not allowed to erase God's name. Rami, will go to you in a second. I see you sagaciously reacting to the prompt. So you're not allowed to erase God's name ever. Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. But in the Sota protocols, Umachal, Me Amarim, God says, better to erase my name, and harmony should be restored between a man and wife. And the Rambam then goes on to say, Gadol HaShalom, very audacious line here, Shekol HaTorah Nisna, this is an amazing line. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal called it maybe the most audacious line in the Mishnah Torah, that the entire point of the Torah is to create shalom in the world. So leaving that aside for a second, if it's possible to leave that aside, Rami, what did you want to say? I saw you reacting with great gusto.
I mean, it was just like, bringing up that, specifically about, the whole such point, how, even, you could erase God's name bring peace in the situation. So that's what I remember.
Right. So how does that relate back now to this idea? If the whole point of this year was that Ner Chanukah is really a rabbinic expression of a mitzvah d'oraisa called
Kiddush Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name. And that's more important than anything else, is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, except
Shalom.
So the Rambam, when he wanted to express the idea that Ner Shabbos is Docha Ner Chanukah, so after finishing, you know, his whole explanation of Ner Chanukah and all the special halachos and the idea of Mocher Ksuso and Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od and Bayashenik Shamalchu Yavan, so the Rambam thought, I think, a pithy way of expressing the idea, you know, of Ner Shabbos being Docha Ner Chanukah, because for him, Ner Chanukah really is about Kiddush Hashem. He says, look, Kiddush Hashem is really important, but the sanctification of God's name, L'chas Yis Hashem Gadol V'Kadosh B'Lamecha, which is achieved, you know, through Ner Chanukah, can't be more important than because we know Harei Hashem Hagadol Nimchak Kidei Lasos Shalom Ben Ish L'Ishto. So this is not just, you know, one of 1,000 Mamari Chazal to make the point, but it's the perfect Mamar Chazal. And the Rambam really was a genius. So, you know, he chose of the 1,000 the one that best encapsulated his point, which was Shalom trumps Kiddush Hashem. Now, there are two ways of expressing this idea, then we'll, you know, give Noam the final word. And one of them is to say, you have two competing values. And Shalom is like, you know, the arch value. Nothing is more important in the world than Shalom. Kol HaTorah Kula Nisna Lasos Shalom Ba'olam. So, as important as Kiddush Hashem is, Shalom is more important. So when you have, you know, a proxy war between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, which is really just a proxy war between two super important values, Shalom, you know, in the blue trunks, and, you know, in the trunks, because we don't have a shirt today, and then, you know, Kiddush Hashem in the red trunks. So Shalom, what's that?
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. So Shalom trunks Kiddush Hashem. That's one way of looking at the whole thing. So it could be. And I look at it like a little bit differently. So to me, the idea is as follows. It's not really that Shalom, you know, supersedes Kiddush Hashem, or, you know, Sharei Hashem HaGadol Nimcha Kedei La'asur Shalom B'neish V'ishto, but Shalom is itself
the greatest kiyum of Kiddush Hashem.
Right, because we know Shalom is actually the name
Hashem.
Of Hashem, right, when you say Shalom. So what you basically, the halacha of Sota is saying like this. Yeah, God says, you can erase my name in a very technical sense, because this isn't, you know, countering my interests. Shalom B'nish L'ishto is itself an enormous Kiddush Hashem. Shalom in the world is a sanctification of God's name. God's essence is inextricably linked with Shalom. So I would prefer to say, it's not really a competitive scenario, but if you want to know what the greatest Kiddush Hashem is, the greater Kiddush Hashem is the Ner Shabbos. That would be my way of putting it, but you don't have to, you know, believe that last step. I think what is, you know, beyond debate is the fact that the Rambam does frame Ner Chanukah in terms of a rabbinic expression of the Daraisa of Kiddush Hashem. That's why it's all hands on deck. That's why it's by Hashenik Shemalchu Yavan Gazuk Zerus Yisrael Bit Ludasam. That's how it's a Divrei Sofrim and not just a pure Dirabanan. That's the mitzvah Chavivahi An Ma'od. I really think it does relate to Avas Hashem and Mesiris Nefesh. And I think that could be the Magid Mishnah's Kol Shekein. In other words, yeah, it even goes beyond the Dalet Kosos. The Dalet Kosos is a Pirsume Nisa, is maybe a Kiddush Hashem in the sense of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it can't get as far as Ner Chanukah does, because Ner Chanukah takes you to the Shas Hashmad situations. I think we're going to give Noam the final word here.
You answered my question.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was the question?
I was just going to ask, because the Rambam saying that it's like Kiddush Hashem is one next verse the entire time.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. All right, so I think this could be like sort of like a helpful paradigm in terms of trying to grapple with the significance of Ner Chanukah. And I think just to conclude with maybe one word of inspiration here, is that, you know, it's really a nice thing, I think, about, you know, our religious ethos that, you know, God is way above, and we're living our own humble lives down here. And yet we have this, you know, conviction that we can be Mekadei Shem Shamayim. We can truly bring glory to God's name. We do that through singing the Hallel in the morning. You know, L'chaz Bach Zabach Todah V'Shem Hashem Ekra. We do that in verbal ways. We do that in nonverbal ways. L'chaz Sisa Shem Gadol V'Kadosh Be'olamecha. So the idea that, you know, we here, in our own humble way, can be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, I think is a very meaningful part of our religious worldview. And that God looks to us and looks to our actions and says, you know, how you behave and what you do and what you celebrate and the choices that you make can really bring glory to God's name. I think that is an extraordinary power which is invested in us. It grants enormous significance to the way that we behave, how we conduct ourselves in both directions. God forbid the prospect of Chilul Hashem or the opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. So I would posit to you that these 8 days are really an opportunity for us to refine and hone that sense of what it means to be Mekadshei Shem Shamayim, as God did way back when in Yeshua's Chanukah, L'cha Sisa, Shem Gadol, V'Kadosh, Be'olamecha. Thank you guys so much for your participation this morning.